If you're new, if you're visiting, what we started looking at in the last few weeks is habits of grace. We often call them spiritual disciplines, but those things in our lives, that these gifts that God gives us to draw ourselves closer to Him, to connect with Him, to abide in Him, and to live in obedience to Him as well. So that's what we're continuing. So if you're new today, today's message is kind of part two, continuing on from last week. So last week we had a look at Psalm 19, and in it we saw how God, how He amazingly reveals Himself to us. We saw that in Psalm 19 we see that God reveals Himself in His creation all around us. Creation itself declares its glory. But then we saw that God chooses to reveal Himself even more, so even more deeply, even more richly, even more intimately through Word. Through Jesus, the Word in the flesh, who reveals to us the perfect expression of God Himself. He is the image of the invisible God. But also our Word in writing, where God reveals Himself in His Word, the Scriptures, the entire Bible we have before us today. So it's God's timing that Gideons are here as well. We have this gift of grace. The Scriptures, they are God's Word for us. And so we left last Sunday with this picture of God's Word as this gift from God to not only bring us initially with the good news to the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, but also that God's Word is to continue to grow us in our faith, to help us abide in Christ, to stay connected to Him, to conform to Him more and more in obedience. But in some ways, last week was probably, you might have gone away from it going, it was all a little bit too theological. But it is essential. It's essential to understand and see the gift that God's Word is. So to not be confused in a world that says there are many ways to know God, there are many different versions and places that I can know His truth. But no. God reveals Himself infallibly in His Word. We need to know this. We need to see the treasure that it is before us. And so I wanted to ask before we get into this, did anyone get to read through Psalm 100? Remember I gave you homework last week? Did anyone get to read through Psalm 119 this week? Twice. Oh, two gold stars, John. Good work. It's a long psalm, isn't it? It's actually longer than some of the entire books of the Bible. But I hope if you read it, and if you haven't read it, please go and read it or listen to it. I hope you see in Psalm 119, the longest chapter, the longest psalm in the Bible, that the repeating theme throughout it is this overwhelming passion for God's Word. It's a psalm that is obsessively about the wonder of God's Word. So it's broken up into 176 verses where it talks about God's Word, His law, His precepts. So 176 verses in this psalm, and all but four verses talk about His Word. Even the few verses there that Felicity read out from Psalm 119, you can already see there, I hope you sense, the staggering worth of God's Word. It's something to seek with all our heart. It's something to learn from, something to rejoice in, something to meditate on, something to delight in. And it tells us that the way forward for us is to live according to it, to live according to God's Word. So God's Word is never seen here as just mere content to be consumed to increase knowledge. No, it's always knowledge that transforms. It's always knowledge that leads to growth. It leads to praise. It leads to a deeper relationship with Christ. And it leads our lives to action. It leads our lives to obedience. And in the book of James, Chris was talking about this with me last week. It makes it really clear. James makes it really clear in his letter. James 1:22 says this about God's Word. It says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So God's word, the scriptures, by the power of his spirit, they connect us to Christ more and more, and they conform us to Christ more and more by teaching us his ways, by leading us into obedience, where we show his love to others in particular. But the question I want to move to today is how? How, if God's word is to be treasured, if God's word is what he uses by his spirit to transform, how do I engage with God's word? How do we take God's word, this gift, this treasure, and treat it accordingly? Because I think it's fair to say that all of us at some time, and possibly many of us here today, maybe even this moment, have neglected God's word, have not treated it as the treasure it is, as God's voice. You know, the Bible for us, it's kind of collected dust on the shelf at different times. Or it's been relegated to mainly here on a Sunday morning and that's about it. Or you might even feel at the moment like you're reading it, but it's going in one ear and out the other. You're like that man forgetting what he looks like when he looks in the mirror. So how do I treat God's word for the essential gift it is from God? How do I put into action the belief that when I listen to God's word, God will work through that? That no word will return empty. How do I make it an intrinsic part of my life, knowing it is how God will continue to grow me in him? So what I'm asking is, how can I make it a central habit of grace in my life? That's what I want to focus on this morning. How can I make God's word a central habit of grace in my life? But as we do this, I just want to say, particularly if you're someone who has no habit at the moment of getting into God's word, don't want today to be a guilt trip. That's not the point. And as we go through a fair few things this morning, don't let all the different things we look at today kind of overwhelm you. I want to say today, just start. Just start small, or just grow in a small way. It's what we talked about last night at the men's night too. Just start with one habit, not 15 huge things that you'll never get accomplished. One small, meaningful habit in God's word, and then go and grow from there. Alrighty. Do you know that the average Australian household uses about 500 litres of water a day? So not for business, not for agriculture, just for the home, right? So we use about 500 litres for drinking, for washing ourselves, for cleaning our laundry, for watering the garden, those kinds of things. And it ends up being about 21,000 bathtubs of water a year per household. And I'm sure some of you go, my family uses way more than that. Now, I'm sure there can be a lot of wastage in that, but at the end of the day, water is essential, isn't it? Water is essential for life. We as humans, we can't survive more than about 3 days without consuming water. And let's be honest, after 3 days without taking a shower or a bath in it, your family probably won't survive either. Water is essential. It's essential on a daily basis, isn't it? And I want to say that that's a good way to think of God's word. It's the same with God's word. God's word is essential in a very similar manner to water itself. It's essential for a life that is abiding in Christ. And so I think for this morning, how we use water might be a helpful analogy to think about how we can also engage with God's word, with God's streams of living water that grow us. So today I've got 5 ways to engage with God's word. I know today that it's a bit different than usually working through a passage, but I think we need to just stop this morning, get up a bit close and personal talk about what engaging with God's word can realistically kind of practically look like for you and me. So here we go, five ways to engage with God's word. Number one, take a morning or evening shower. So for us, a shower, usually it isn't a fancy thing, isn't it? But you notice, and others certainly notice, when you skip those showers. I'm not saying that from experience, sorry. It's just a normal part, isn't it, of the daily rhythm of life. And in the same way, I think it's good to make reading God's word in part of your daily rhythms of life. God will work through this day-by-day rhythm of reading, of listening to his word. We see it in Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I mean, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? For those who day by day get into God's word. It says that God will prosper you. It's talking about true prospering, not earthly prosperity, but spiritual prosperity, where the daily rhythm of getting into God's word will prosper you by growing your connection and your conformity with Jesus. I mean, when it comes to taking a shower, I looked it up. Apparently, about half of us, I'm not going to ask you this morning, half of us take a shower in the morning, and about half people take a shower at night just before they go to bed. And people have all sorts of reasons for which one they choose. And I think it can be very much the same with God's word. For you, personally, you need to choose those times that work best in your daily rhythm. So pick a time, pick a place that is going to best allow you to focus, even if it just starts with 5 minutes. It might be first thing in the morning. You, instead of rolling over in bed and grabbing your phone to check social media or the day ahead, you roll over, you grab your phone or your Bible and you read God's word. Or maybe for some of us, it's straight after you finally get the kids tucked into bed and you finally grab God's word. Maybe it's about you arriving to work 10 minutes earlier so you can sit in your car or in your office and read God's word. Maybe it's the last thing you do when you climb into bed that night. But for you, find the rhythm that's going to allow you quiet, that's going to allow you some uninterrupted, if that is possible, time, allow you space to read and to pray. So that's number one, take a daily shower, please. But what I mean is take a daily read of God's word. Number two, spend some extended time in the hot tub. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the older you get, the less likely you are to have a long, nice bath. Can't remember. I don't think I fit in baths, so let's not go there. You can probably remember those times, though. Some of us could probably remember those times as a kid where you spent forever in the bath, just chilling out and splashing around. It's like my kids. It's like time for a bath. No, no, don't want one. And then you finally get them in. Time to get out. No, I don't want to get out. But they get those times where they spend forever in there just chilling out, splashing around, taking it slow, rather than kind of a more efficient shower. Well, it's the same with God's word, where we can have those times where we get to more deeply soak in God's word, where we can study it, where we can meditate on it, where we can chew on it, really dig deeper into it. You know, over and over in the Bible, there's this instruction not just to read God's word, but to meditate and dwell and think on it. We saw it already there in Psalm 1, but it happens frequently in Scripture. You might have seen it several times in Psalm 119 if you read that. So Psalm 119:48 says, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and God's word fits all of that, think about such things. This biblical command for us to meditate on God's word. Now, let's not get wrong what that means, meditate. I think often when we think of meditation, we can think of the type of meditating that can come from kind of Eastern religion and philosophy. You know, that idea of a transcendental or Zen meditation, which is all about emptying yourself of everything to reach this still, quiet level of mental clarity. You know, it's that type of mindfulness which is about looking inward at yourself. But that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation doesn't start with emptying yourself and looking inward. It starts and continues with filling yourself with something new. Filling yourself with God's word. It focuses on Him and His word, not actually on yourself. So thinking on them, chewing on God's words over and over and over again. It's about really digging into God's word and then letting it sink in so that it goes from just a knowledge and a meditation of your mind to a meditation of your heart. So soaking in the depths of God's word, meditating on it, searching it, studying it, dissecting it, really contending with it, even the parts that you find confusing or difficult. So maybe practically meditating on God's word means for you printing it out. Printing out a section of God's word or writing a section of God's word out again yourself and then making notes around it, getting out your highlighter if that's your type of person and commenting on it and asking questions of it, seeing where it fits into the wonderful big picture of God's word of the Bible and the redemption story. Maybe for you it's about starting a journal where you make your own notes each day as you read. Summarize what you're reading. And it's certainly, meditating on God's word is certainly about praying what you are reading. Praying God's word, which we're going to get to in the weeks to come when we look at prayer. But find those ways that work for you to slow down and chew. To let it soak in. To let the word of God dwell in you richly. So that's number two. Take a soak in the hot tub. Those longer times to soak and meditate on God's word. And number three, though, is keep sipping on the water bottle. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, going to school, when you had to get a drink, you always had to go down to the bubbler, right? Who's in that generation? Okay. But these days, every kid, and I think nearly every man and woman, has a water bottle next to them. Who has one here right now? Come on. Yeah, see? Okay. So I don't want to embarrass her, but this is, she might be out at Kids Connect, actually. I asked her about this, don't worry. This is Nick's water bottle. It's a $7 bottle from Kmart, and she wanted to stress that she got it because of the size of it. But it has all these wonderful encouragements on the side. As you drink more and more, so at the top it's like, time to start. Let's hydrate. You can do this. You got this. And so it's all about encouraging you to take those regular sips all through the day so that you are able to consume enough water. I always repeat them to her. She doesn't like it. But that's what meditating on God's word can also look like for you. That continual sips, those continual drip feed of God's word in your life. That constant presence of God's word there in your mind to chew on, to meditate on day long. So meditation can, as I said before, it's like a hot tub. It can be delving deep into God's word, searching, studying, dissecting it in one specific time. But meditating on God's word can also be having God's word just there all the time at the front of your mind all day long. We see it talked about in Joshua chapter 1. God says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." See how God's word leads to transforming action in our lives there. But see also how meditation of God's word there, it's day and night, it's on their lips all the time. It's just this constant presence in the normal days and nights of the week. Just those regular sips of God's word all day long. So this is about for us, I think this is about finding those ways to bring God's word to your mind wherever you are. Sticking scripture up around your house. I see people do that. Putting scripture on your phone, your phone wallpaper, your phone screen, or your computer screensaver. It can be all those types of things. But I think it's more than that. I think it's about taking the opportunity you have to actually memorize scripture each week. So I'm not talking about memorizing giant slabs of the Bible. Some people can do that. Not everyone can. I mean small sections, starting with a verse and just memorizing it. Why? So it implants God's word in your mind and in your heart. It's where you take sips on it, so you keep on saying it to yourself, or you write it out every morning, or you turn it into art, if that's what, not me, but if that's what helps you implant it and meditate on it. Find ways for those regular sips of God's word throughout the day. Those verses of the day that you can sit with and chew on and learn from and obey. I think that's a great way to start. Small but glorious morsels of God's voice. So that's number three. Keep sipping on the water bottle. Regular sips of God's word. Number four. Seeing how far I could stretch the analogy today. Number four, the splash of water on the face. So we know, right, water has this amazing ability at times to wake us up. And it also has this amazing ability to give us refreshment. You know, those days when you're struggling to wake up and a cold splash of water helps to start the day, or those days where you're hot and just sapped and a splash of water on the face gives that immediate cool refreshment. Please see that God's word does that. Seek God's word to act as those wake-up calls and those sources of refreshment in the many circumstances of your life. So this is where reading God's word, this is where meditating on it, and this is particularly where memorizing it can become such a gift from God in the best and the worst days that you will face. Because this is what God's word does. Take a look at Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So this means that when God's word becomes more and more part of the daily rhythms of your life, when more and more of it gets soaked into your mind and your heart, then it can be something there just to recall. Something there that in your head and your heart is on tap. Words that the Holy Spirit will remind you of. Words that can act sometimes as an immediate wake-up call, a splash in the face, where God's words can convict you and remind you of sin, where God's words can rebuke and admonish you at times, where His word can lead you out and away from temptation. We see that in Psalm 119. Felicity read it out earlier. It said, "I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." But they can also act as immediate refreshment, where God's word brought to mind this splash of joyful promise and encouragement in our lives. We saw it last week in Psalm 19. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Do you see that? That number four, God's word, the splash of water on your face. So having God's word implanted in our minds and our hearts for the many ups and downs of life. And finally, number five, go to the pool. Go to the pool, go to the beach. Why? Because you do it with others. Especially in Australia, water is where community so often congregates, isn't it? Water is a thing enjoyed together, whether it be kids running through a sprinkler, a pool party, a day at the beach. Community happens around water. And scripture is very clear that people should congregate around his word in a similar way. Where God's word is to be enjoyed in community as well. Not just individually, but with others. It's what we do on Sunday mornings. But there's so much more opportunity in our lives. And really, all of those other things, those other 4 points that we've talked about, can be done not just individually by yourself, but together. I'm not going to continue the water analogy because it gets a bit weird talking about showering together. But I started along that current. No, it's going sideways. But what it's saying is those daily rhythms of reading God's word, you can do that with others too, can't you? So you can do that with your spouse. You can do it with your kids. You can do it with friends. Meditating, studying God's word, digging deeper. I think that is even better at times when it's done with others. It's a big part of what small groups should be about. You know, digging into God's word together. But even those small sips of God's word, or those needed splashes on the face, they can be done with each other. You know, get your kids. Get your kids to join you in memorizing those verses of scripture. Or get someone else to join you each week and have time to chew on those verses, to talk about those verses, to stick them up around your house. It's one great thing about technology too, isn't it? That you can get into God's word online with others. And I know some in the church are already doing this. And we've seen the Gideon app, and there's lots of great tools online. The Bible app, sorry if I'm plugging the wrong thing here. Gideon's one's great too. The Bible app is a great tool to use. I will say use it with discernment though, because it's got thousands upon thousands of reading plans and devotions. You can do it by yourself or do with others. If you'd like to start one with others, it's pretty easy to do. In fact, I'm starting one tomorrow if anyone wants to be friends with me. So I'm starting one. It was in the bulletin. This is how I get friends. I'm starting one tomorrow for the 50 days leading up to Easter. So it's a reading plan. So it's not a whole year. If that's too big for you to stomach right now, it's a reading plan. It's a devotion from the Bible Project, working through the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So both the books written by Luke. I put an invitation on the church app, the bulletin, the website, if you'd like to join me, or you can find others to read with as well. So that's number 5 there. Lots of ways you can do that, to go to the pool, to engage in God's word with each other. So, friends, if we truly believe that Bible is God's word, his voice, his truth for us, then what we have is this wonderful gift of grace from him. I don't think I can repeat that enough. To help us abide in Christ, to help us grow in our connection and conformity with him. I mean, how can we not take hold of that? How can we not see his words as anything less essential for our lives in Christ than water and oxygen? Can I encourage you to simply start somewhere? To just grow somewhere. Start somewhere in your life to listen to God's word every day. So again, I'll say it's not about guilt, where from this you need to turn around today and become a biblical scholar overnight. No, just listen, just read, just meditate on his voice, his words. And so my question for you today is, what are you going to do? Where are you going to begin? Give yourself just one way you're going to start, one way you're going to restart, one way you're going to continue getting into God's word. So I want to invite you just to stop now, think about that for yourself, pray about it for a minute, just that where are you going to begin or where are you going to continue growing in God's word? Please spend some time thinking about that.